Let's please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. For those that are just joining us, we're going through the Olivet Discourse, Jesus answering his disciples' questions, a day before he's getting crucified, roughly a day or two. And they were impressed with the temple. Jesus says that temple's going to be destroyed. They said, whoa. They asked Jesus three questions. When is that going to happen? And what's going to be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? And we have to remember that Jesus, in answering his disciples, was saying some things that pertain to the disciples that were right in front of him with the events that were going to be happening, including the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. But then when he shifted to the sign of his coming in the end of the age, he's talking, those answers were to a people yet future to us, because he hasn't come. But we can see the events that are leading up to that being able to be fulfilled. And we, so far in part 1 and 2, we got all the way up to Matthew chapter 24, verse 8. And so today we're going to pick it up at 9. And the way these notes are laid out, and they're laid out in a way that I have Matthew, Mark, and Luke in parallel passages. And we're going to post this handout when we get all done and we know exactly how far we get. Like part 1 and part 2, as far as we posted this handout in the way it was taught on the website. So you can see it there, and when we get done with part 3, it will be posted tomorrow on the website that goes along with the live stream of this study. And I mentioned last week that you could get Dr. Walt Brown's flip book on creationscience.com. There's been a delay on getting it on creationscience.com, but it's on creationsciencecenter.org. So for those that might have listened last week, wherever you are, and you went there and you go, there's no book, flip book here, it's being worked on, things are being worked on to support the ninth edition being on the website, and so I want to correct that as well. So Matthew 24:9, it says, Jesus saying, then they, the people of the world that hate the gospel, will deliver you. And you were going to make a case for that means the disciples in front of Jesus, Jews and Christians. Disciples were all Jews at the time, but then they became Gentiles as well, meaning, Gentile Christians and Jews. Up to tribulation, they will give you tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended. And that word offended literally means to fall away, i.e. from the faith. It means that there will be people that will say, I'm a believer in Jesus, but then when the persecution comes, they will turn away and say they're not. They will deny the faith. They will betray one another and will hate one another. And then and what I'm going to do is take Mark that says things a little different, and then Luke. Look at Mark 13, which is the parallel passage to the Olivet Discourse, in verse 10. And we're going to emphasize, and the gospel must first be preached to all nations, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now, brother will betray brother. So now it brings it down to the family. It's not just people are going to offend you and persecute you, it's brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And then over on Luke 21:18, but not a hair of your head shall be lost, by your patience possess your souls. Now, do you think that Jesus was literally meaning hairs of their head? Because you lose them. I lost a whole bunch. And some of the disciples were killed. They were dragged behind. All the apostles except for one were tortured and killed. I would imagine they lost some hair about that. And the patience possess your soul. You shall not be lost. He means eternally. God knows the very hairs on our head. He's saying, no, not so much as a hair, as he said earlier, falls without me knowing it. And I'm telling you, no matter what they do to you, don't hang in there. He's saying, hang in there. By your patience, possess your souls. So we truly, when we're patient for the Lord's deliverance from the wickedness of this world. We're holding on to our souls. We're possessing our souls. There's people that have belief, but they don't have saving belief. So they believe until, and even Jesus talked about it in the parable of the sower. They receive the word of God. They're excited. But yet when persecution arises, because the roots didn't go down into good soil. And as soon as persecution comes, which is like they hit a rock, as the roots go down, they hit a rock, they can't get moisture, can't get nourishment. And so then they turn away from the faith. And they produce no fruit. And Jesus is here saying the same thing, that persecution is going to sift people in the future. And we kind of mentioned that last week is Abraham's, you know, five of Abraham's professing Christians he was praying with in Libya. As soon as they were persecuted, they say, okay, no, Allah is God, no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. So did they possess their soul? No, they didn't. They didn't possess their soul. They didn't hold on. God allows persecution to separate the chaff from the wheat, to separate the professors from those who truly believe. And so then going to page two of the notes, in the world today, would we be able to say there's two types of people that are hated all over the world? And who are they? Who are the two types of people that are hated all over the world? Christians and Jews. Now, why do they hate Jews? They're the chosen people. Again, the hatred is, you can't explain the hatred logically. Jews, you know, they've given so much to the world. I mean, the world wants to say they take everything. But people have done studies on the number of Nobel laureates, etc., the great inventions, patents, everything else, a very small percentage of the world population, a huge percentage of the great discoveries that have been made in the world. In fact, a lot of the Jews during the Holocaust, they were saying, these rumors about how they're going to be rounded up and slaughtered, they were ignoring them because were their doctors, were their lawyers, were their musicians. They couldn't possibly want to get rid of us. So, yeah, because it's spiritual. Because Satan gets rid of the Jews, then the Bible's not true. And so Satan hates even the non-believing. Even though the Jews that reject Jesus are on their way to judgment, he still hates them because God's made promises to them to keep them around till the end of days, and Satan wants to get rid of them. So they're hated. And what about Christians now, which are Jews and Gentiles who are believers in Jesus or Christians? Why does the world hate us? Because we have the gospel. We tell people that there is only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one Messiah, one Jesus. And without that Jesus, you will perish. And the world doesn't want to hear that because the world is under the sway of the wicked one, Satan. And Satan wants to silence that message in any way that he can. So he hates Christians, he hates Jews, and so we see that in the world today. And it's really proof that there is a Satan. It's a proof, you know, I know people that have confessed that they came to God because they realized there was a Satan. Because there wouldn't be this hatred for these people groups. In fact, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, there's this one Roman general who wrote back to Caesar and said, why are we killing these people? They don't do anything to us. They just like to meet once a week to gather together and share a meal together, then encourage one another in love and temperance and live in a holy life. And they talk about this Jesus who they say raised from the grave. Why are we slaughtering these people? And it's just because there's a demonic thing in here. Another article came out today where Candace Owens, who's very anti-Israel, And somebody was defending her, saying she's not anti-Semitic, she's anti-Zionist. Now let's think about that, because anti-Zionist means there shouldn't be Jews in Israel. That's what it means, because Zion is, again, a Zionist Jew is a Jew who believes that the land of Israel is owned by God, given to the Jews by divine covenant. So if you're anti-Zionist, meaning you don't think that any Jews should live in the land of Israel, which Candace would say it's a Palestinian's land. So if that's what it means, what does it take to get the Jews out of there? kill them all. You know, that's what you'd have to do. So how is that not anti-Semitic? If I'm against the Jews being in Israel, and the only way to get them out of Israel is by killing them all, or forcing them for forced migration to where? To some other place in the world they can't defend themselves, which is what happened when Hitler wanted to kill them all? It's asking for the complete genocide of the Jewish race. And again, they play around with these terms. They don't even know what they're saying. Why? Because it's a spiritual delusion. And is it increasing in our country and in the world today? Yes, absolutely is. In fact, there was a poll taken in Europe when I first did these notes back in 2003. A poll taken in Europe in November 2003 showed that 59% of the Europeans believe that Israel is the biggest global threat. But I checked it again last week. It's 70% now. It's not Iran, you know, wanting to do missiles and support all this spread of Islam around the world and all the billions of dollars of Arab oil that's putting mosques all over the world to further Islamic religion that wants to subjugate the whole world. It's not the cartels that are, you know, today they shut down two airports because we needed to take out drones that the cartel down in Mexico is starting to send into here, El Paso. All the flights were diverted out of an El Paso airport because they're using drones now to bring all this drugs and stuff here. They're not a threat. Islamic Jihad is not a threat. No, the Jews are a threat to the world. And Jesus said, they're going to hate you, Christians and Jews. And then going to the fourth paragraph down on page 2, it says, Jesus told his disciples that Christians and Jews would be hated until the end of times, a sign of his coming. He also predicts that some will fall away from the truth as a result of that persecution. Likely the betrayal of Jesus warns of people turning, you know, relatives. Imagine, what would it take? Do we have any record in the book of Acts of disciples being betrayed by their family? No. You get very little of it in Fox's Book of Martyrs. Well, again, I think he was talking to the people right in front of him, his disciples right in front of him, and he's talking to a future time. When is it going to become so incredibly treasonous to the family, turning your father, son, mother, brother over to the authorities to kill? During the tribulation period. Because when they have complete and total control over everybody's life, and they say through the financial global economic system that the Antichrist is going to have, and he's going to make a decree that unless you bow to my, you know, bow to the image and you take my name in your hand and your forehead and you worship to that image, unless you do that, you are going to die. And so then let's say a father, a brother, mother, sister sits there and goes, I'm not going to do that because we're going to get to it. These angels are flying around saying, we better not do that or we're going to suffer eternity in hell. And so they don't do it. And what's the Antichrist going to say? And if you don't turn in somebody that you know, then you're going to be killed. It doesn't matter if you have the mark of my name in your hand. This is a complete 100% you turn in the guy. We saw that during COVID. We saw the government asking people to turn each other in for COVID, for violating COVID rules. What do you think is going to happen when the Antichrist is in control and saying he wants the entire world to worship him or you're dead? And they will turn you in. If they're going to take the mark, first of all, if they take the mark of the Antichrist's name in their hand or their forehead and they bow down and they worship the image of the beast, their souls are gone. There is no repentance. There's no way to. So they're already. That's basically they just got possessed. There is no way for them to turn away. And so you're going to be nothing to them. Satan is going to just turn you in. I mean, not us. For everybody here that's a believer, we're going to go before then. But Jesus is speaking to a future time. You have to hang in there because it is going to be unbelievable persecution, betrayal by even your own family. Then in Matthew 24:11, second from the bottom paragraph, where we're picking up the text again, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures till the end shall be saved. Kind of goes along with what Luke was saying. And he who endures to the end will be saved spiritually. He who endures does not deny last day's emphasis. So this is, it appears that Matthew alone records this second warning about false prophets, and I think he's there making it clear that it's going to be in the last days. There's going to be these people that will so deceive the world. The Antichrist is the Messiah, all these other things to cause people to believe. And he's saying you don't, you got to endure. You got to keep with the truth of the Word of God and not be deceived. And it's, as I emphasized earlier, and I think it was study one, when Jesus talks about being deceived to go after false messiahs, which he did in Matthew 24:5, where he talked about the first time Matthew recorded Jesus' warning about false prophets, it's not possible for Christians to be deceived by false messiahs because we got the one we want. We're not looking anymore. And so this is truly, all these warnings are dealing with the last days, people after the church. They'll be deceived into thinking a time of peace has arrived. When the Antichrist gives them peace for the first 3.5 years, he's saying, don't be deceived, you have to endure. And then Jesus also warned in there that people will lose their ability to love one another because of lawlessness. And we talked about that earlier too. Are we seeing that in our culture today? Yes. People, it's, all the doors are locking, you can't go out, you can't do anything, you have to have security cameras. Isn't that interesting that, Savannah Guthrie's mom, you know, the guy, he disabled all the cameras, took the hard drives, took the cameras, and so supposedly everything was, there was no way. And then the FBI goes, we have these other means that we do know what the guy looks like. Did you think, wasn't that kind of interesting? You know, what's that telling us? That's telling us every camera in the country that's a security camera is feeding a super secret government database. And you think it's only going to your hard drive, you think it's only going to your camera system, but if you're the mother of a millionaire or popular person, then they can dig it up and find it and show us what's going on. And so there's going to be, everybody's got to have a camera and all this other stuff because of lawlessness, which is just abounding. Some people that also have houses in Idaho, they were talking about how you cross the border into Idaho and it's just like you're in a different world. Because everybody here, he's a businessman and he deals with people lying all the time. And you go over there and it's still, you see everybody in a restaurant, they're bowing their heads and they're thanking Jesus for the food. They're saying, hey, where do you fellowship at? Just common conversations where he's living in Idaho. And, you know, and we're in Washington for those people that don't know where we're really coming from. And it's just not that way. And in dark states, which we are, we sense it more than others, but we can see how the love of many is growing cold. It's hard to have a close fellowship, love relationship with people. But in the church, it should always exist. There'll be great pressure to abandon the faith for these future people, instead of putting their trust in a global leader. Do we have any hope that there's going to be a global government? That's going to solve the problems of the world? What kind of a false prophet would have to come along? No, Kevin, really. We're the man who's going to bring peace to the world. No, not even tempted. Because we know the Word of God. We know where that goes. We know it's a lie. But the people that don't have the Word of God, they don't go to a church that even tells them about the Word of God, it's going to be, you can see where people would be, they would be snagged in. Yeah, they're going to bring, getting rid of all the nuclear weapons, getting rid of all the weapons, getting rid of everybody's gun. I mean, how could that be wrong? Well, it's not wrong. When we get to heaven, we're not going to need any of that stuff. But it's not going to solve the problem, which is the wickedness of men's hearts and the wickedness of the Antichrist, who's going to want to kill everybody on the planet when he gets the reins of his full power. Verse 14, and this is so important. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom, 24:14 Matthew, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And the gospel must, Mark 10:13-10, and the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. And so Jesus is saying, he's answering the question, what's the sign of the time, you know, what is the sign of her coming in the end of the age? So many people, some Christians, who are not aware of the prophetic, prophecy of Revelation 14, think that Jesus is saying, wow, you know, you guys, you church, you're going to learn all the 3,000 languages of the world, and you're going to make Bibles, and you're going to teach everybody the gospel, and as soon as that last pygmy in Africa, or the last Amazon jungle tribe, the last place that hears the gospel, then the end can come, and you better get hot. That's what they think. Because they don't know what Revelation 14 says. And so let's kind of build the case for what's going on. The church is supposed to do the Great Commission. We are supposed to go out into the whole world, right? And we've been doing that for 2,000 years. But there are places in the world today that still have never heard the gospel. They haven't. They're out in the backwoods in Amazon. There's so many different languages. And so the sequence of events of God always leaving a witness people, and right now the church is a witness people, but someday the church is going to be taken away. And I think before we ever get to every single tribe, there's still, I read an article that there's still 1,600 language groups that don't have a Bible. And we just taught the Good News Club kids about the Wycliffe Bible translators, the one taught the history of that guy that started Wycliffe Bible translations. And he did a good job of training up a whole bunch of people to make Bibles able to be available to people in a lot of different tribes. And people have gone all over the world doing that. But it's not looking like it's ever going to be accomplished. But the church has gone out there and done a pretty good job. So is Jesus waiting for us to get done? I don't think so. Because what the Bible says is that the church is going to be raptured out of here. So the witness is going to be lost. And the witness of the church is going to be lost when the whole church is gone, and it's going to happen before, I think years, before the actual 7-year tribulation starts. And we're not going to spend too much time on that timing right now. But then what does God do to bring a witness to the world? Does God have a witness to the world according to the prophetic word of God after the church is gone? There's 144,000 witnesses that are here on earth. And I think the only way you can put Revelation 7 and 14 together and have it make sense is that the 12,000 Jewish men from the 12 tribes of Israel, that's what the Bible says. It's not Jehovah's Witnesses. It's 12,000 Jewish men from the 12 tribes of Israel. They're all virgins. They've all followed Jesus wherever he goes. They're the first fruits of his ministry. I think that God has 144,000 Jews in the early church, because the church was first Jewish, from the 12 tribes of Israel that have gone to heaven. You know, they're going to be, you know, raptured, receive their bodies, and they're going to be glorified bodies, and then they're going to be sent back down to be these 144,000 witnesses, because there's no way left behind Jews that aren't Christians are going to all of a sudden fulfill everything that Revelation 14 says about who they are. There's absolutely no way. So they have to be, just like we believe the two witnesses are beamed down in Revelation 11, I think 144,000. So God says, okay, you know, you're up here, boom, you're going back down. You're going to be a witness. The first Jew, you were the first fruits of the ministry. Now you're going to be down there and you're going to be telling Jews, don't be listening to the world, don't be listening to the global leader, don't be listening to any of these other things that are happening, and they're going to be witnessing for the first 3.5 years. And God sends the two witnesses in Revelation 11. And if you want the details on this, you can go to our study in Revelation, chapter 7, chapter 14, and I spent a lot of time on it. Chapter 11, you have the two witnesses that are there to bring judgment upon the world for those that are, to me, because it links with Zechariah, that are trying to prevent the Jews from worshiping God at the temple, the third temple, and sacrificing. And you can imagine all the PETA people wanting to take out the Jews during that time. But they're bringing judgment down upon the world. So there's 144,000 Jews, the two witnesses in Jerusalem, but what happens halfway into the tribulation period? They're gone. The two witnesses are killed by the Antichrist, and they say they're dead 3.5 days in the streets of Jerusalem, and the whole world gets to see them. Imagine that. The Bible said 1,900 years ago that the whole world is going to see these two guys sitting in Jerusalem. How was that possible 1,900 years ago? Now it is. The whole world's throwing a party because they're dead. How can the whole world throw a party when you couldn't even get it? You know, how would you ride a horse and get everybody to go, hey, there's two Jews dead in Jerusalem. They don't even know why they're dead. But now you would know instantaneous exactly why they're dead, why they wanted. You would know everything just like the Bible is implying is going to happen. And then they're going to resurrect and they're going to go up into heaven. So the and in Revelation 14, you see the 144,000 back up in heaven with God. So what witness is there? And exactly halfway through the tribulation period, what happens? The Antichrist flips. He goes into the Holy of Holies in the rebuilt temple. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he declares himself to be God. And as soon as he does that, he's committed the abomination of desolation. He gets possessed by Satan, according to Revelation 12. He gets possessed by, and 13. And he gets possessed. And then he goes on a rampage against the Jews. So the 144,000 are gone. The two are gone because the Antichrist killed the two witnesses. And so what's the witness now? The angels that Jesus is alluding to. He goes, when you see then the gospel going out to every tribe, tongue, and language by angels flying through the sky, communicating the gospel in the language of the people that they're flying over for the entire world. He goes, that's when it's coming to the end. That's when it's the end. So we're going to pick that up at and I cover all that at the top of page 4, but let's read what the angel's message is. Revelation 14:7. And I want to emphasize the Antichrist with his global government, global police state, 100% surveillance, 100% control of buying and selling, able to identify anybody that's an enemy of the state just like that. And the world's saying, who can make war against this guy? At that time, nobody else can witness. If you witness, you die. Because you just raised your head to witness. But the angels, they're not going to be able to be killed. And so they're saying, 14:7, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. There are so many times in the Bible where it emphasizes, why are you guys worshiping idols? I made the heavens and the earth and everything that's in the sea. Every time God wants to emphasize, I'm God and I'm going to make this promise to you, he says this. Why are you going to worship a man? Why are you going to deny God? He made the heaven, and we need to emphasize that to people. I've shifted more to talk about your creator. Why do you rebel against your creator? Because it just brings it home. Who owns us? The one who created us. And then the second angel says, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So one angel is saying, why listen to the Antichrist and his kingdom? It's fallen. It's going down. It's going to be destroyed. What? Worship God. This man and his kingdom are going to be destroyed. And then 14:9-11 is emphasizing everybody better not take the, you know, warning everybody, don't bow to the image of the Antichrist and worship it. And don't take the mark in his hand, in your hand, the mark of his name in your hand. Because, verse 9, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented. That offender who worships the Antichrist shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, who is Jesus. And the smoke of their torment ascends, how long? Forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. And we covered recently how people are saying, oh no, people don't go to hell forever. Well, that's what Jesus said. Those are the words of Jesus in Revelation. Yeah, I mean, it's a word of the angels that Jesus gave them. They know what's going to be happening. These people are going to suffer forever and ever. And I think, as I say right below that, those quotes, these warnings by the three angels will fulfill Jesus' prophecy of the gospel being preached to the entire world before Jesus returns. You know, I mean, those three angels, they got Wycliffe Bible translators beat. They don't have to go, you know, join the tribe, learn their language, and then spend 10 years making a translation. They just know all the languages, and boom, everybody is getting the message. You better not. And this is really showing. They're traveling the world around. If you haven't traveled to third world countries, you can't be amazed like I am how many people have smartphones in third world countries and are learning how to use them. And now with the satellite systems up, you know, the Starlink is up. It's servicing everybody in the face of the earth. And you give them a smartphone, you know who they are, where they are, what they think, and you could just teach them, you know, even if they don't know much. And you've got translations going on. You don't have to teach them much to say, see this image of the beast right here? You bow to him. And you worship him. And you take his name. Or you don't get any rice and beans. And you're done. We were in the backwoods of Uganda, talking with people about what happened during COVID. And I mean, you're talking about really just backwards. And the government had people going through the village, shutting them down. Not even a single case of COVID. Not a single case. And people were being hauled in for not complying with getting the jab or wearing masks. And just think what it's going to be like in the third world when everybody is being told by the government elites, you've got to go, you've got to do this. Going to Matthew 24:15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. I'm going to stop there to say this. Therefore is when the angels start preaching, because that's what was just before that. Because that's what's happening. The abomination of desolation is 3.5 years into the tribulation period when the 144,000 are back up in heaven and the two witnesses are dead and resurrected into heaven. And now the angels are starting. And so therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, it's happening at the same time. When you see the Antichrist go in to the third temple and defile it. Standing in the holy place, meaning the holy of holies and the rebuilt temple, still future to us. Whoever hears, whoever reads, let him understand. We want to understand that, don't we? I mean, Jesus told us, if you read this, try and understand it. In the future, he's telling the people, when you read this, you better understand it. Because then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Judea, meaning the Jews are in Israel, because he's talking to his Jewish disciples about the Jews in the future. And the Jews are going to be in Judea, so they have to be in the land, despite what Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson and everybody else say. They're going to be there when the Antichrist does the abomination of desolation, because they're supposed to get out of Judea and flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down. We covered this in our first study. I'm not going to take too much time on this part of it, but let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes, but woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or the Sabbath, for there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. There is no way that was fulfilled in 70 AD. No way. And yet, the preterists and the people that deny the Jews being in the land of Israel and all that, or so all that stuff was fulfilled and 70 AD, all that judgment came on them. No, unless the time was shortened, there'd be no life left on earth. It didn't happen in 70 AD. It's going to happen in the future. And the Jews that are living in Israel, when the Antichrist goes into the temple and he defiles it, commits an abomination by calling himself God and possibly sacrificing a pig or something, some people think he'll do that too. Whatever he does, at that moment, the Jews are supposed to get out of Israel. If they don't, they'll be in trouble. Oh, and I wanted to go back and look at Luke 21. Because see, on the right-hand column, I want to emphasize something. The Olivet Discourse of Luke is chapter 21. Which, chapter 21 doesn't talk about the abomination of desolation. We saw that Luke 21 talked about when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. We covered that last week. But just before Jesus did the Olivet Discourse, some people at Temple Mount area had asked him, hey, what's the sign of the kingdom? You know, when is the kingdom of God coming? And so Luke said in Luke 17:31, in that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. So Luke does do a parallel passage to Matthew 24, but he does it in Luke 17, which is recorded in Luke 17 because it was outside of the Olivet Discourse, but Luke recorded it there. And he added the part that don't be like Lot, Lot's wife. People are going to say, well, what about? And Jesus is saying, you know, it's like the angels that came to Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot, you and your family need to leave right now. Don't be looking back, because you look back, you're going to be turned to a pillar of salt. And so the Jews that are going to be reading this in the future day, and I would imagine some of them are going to be people that, well, you know, the Antichrist is a good guy. Well, 144,000 told us they're bad. He's a bad guy. Yeah, but, you know, look at what he's doing for Israel. And then they're going to say, but Jesus also said the guy's a bad guy. I added you in Jerusalem, land of Israel, Temple Mount Faithful, Gershon Solomon, in 1999. How do you know who the Messiah is going to be? He's going to give us defensible borders, and he's going to let us build our temple. And I said, well, the Bible says he's anti-Messiah. And he goes, oh, not possible him be anti-Messiah. The temple is so holy, he could not be possibly part of the anti-Messiah. And I have that on video. But I would imagine, and he's pretty old now, and he said that God told him he'd stay alive until the third temple was built. And Aaron Lipkin, when he came, he's friends with Gershon Solomon, and he told me he still believed in that when he came a couple years ago. So I would imagine those people, though, are going to say, you know, Jesus, the Jewish prophet, he said that he was going to betray us. And that Paul, that Jewish prophet Paul, said that he was going to betray us and go into the Holy of Holies. And then I think their eyes are going to start opening. They're going to realize we should have listened to 144,000. We should have listened to the two witnesses, whatever they say. We should have listened to Jesus. We should have listened to Paul. And we shouldn't have listened to the global leaders that said that he's going to give us peace and we're going to be able to have all this great time with peace and safety. We'll pick it up with the background on Daniel chapter 9 next week. So we're not getting as far as we thought. And you can take this home and look at it ahead and just ask me, call me with any questions that you have. And then I can make sure that we answer that if you can't get it off of this. But we're living in incredible times. And even everybody's saber rattling, there's still massive military equipment going to the Middle East. There's Netanyahu, everybody was saying Netanyahu, it came to the White House today, to demand that America go into war for them. You know, the Jews are telling us what to do, we gotta get rid of the Jews. What's come out of the meeting, which may or may not be true because we live in a time of great deception, is that we're committed to dialogue with Iran for a while. But the dialogue's gonna go nowhere because Iran, they're trusting in Allah to give them victory over the infidels. And they in the Muslim world since 1948 have had one idea in their mind. And actually, all the Arab nations disagreed to that. There was an article on how they all want the complete elimination of the nation of Israel. They want them gone. And they tried it in 1948. It didn't work, even though they're 20-1 against Israel. It didn't work because God didn't let it happen. Same thing in 67. Under insurmountable odds, by a preemptive strike by Israel on Egypt, etc., and miracles that happened, 67, the Jews didn't get wiped out as Egypt and Syria and Jordan ultimately planned to do. And Then they thought, okay, we got to get more weapons. We've got to get better aircraft. We've got to get better anti-air defense systems. And so we're going to try again in 73. And except for a miracle of God, they would have won. But they didn't. And so then they think, well, we need more missiles. We need more accurate missiles. We need, and then Israel comes up with the Iron Dome. We need more and more and more. And so now the whole place Israel is saying now that the Iranians have 1,000 accurate missiles ready to be aimed at them and everything else. And there's not enough anti-missile missiles to keep you from being severely injured. And they were saying that before this last war. But look at what happened. I mean, yes, some of them landed, but it was against thousands of missiles they were able to defend themselves, miraculously. And the next shindig is probably going to be a really big one. And so if Iranians are saying, oh yeah, we want to dialogue some more, it's so they can make more missiles. Because they're not going to stop. They would be surrendering defeat in the eyes of Allah, saying, slay the infidels. And their God won't let them do that. And they don't care if they have to kill tens of thousands of their own people to make it happen. And so we're in a perilous time in the country, in the world. And I think we're leading up to the time of Revelation 6, where the peace gets taken from the world. And a fourth of the world's population dies as a result of the war festivities and the resulting famine. But before that happens, the church leaves. And so if we're seeing that, you know, this tit for tat could get going pretty soon, and it could ultimately get to the big shindig, and we're going to be gone for the big shindig of Revelation 6, because that's when the wrath of God is starting, and we're promised by God not to see the wrath of God. And so we better be looking up and trusting in Him and witnessing to people, because time's short. I mean, the 144,000 are going to be doing a really great job, but until then, we're supposed to do it. And so let's try and do that, okay? We'll pick it up there next week, Lord willing. Father, we thank You for this time and pray that You would just help us to again stand in awe at You, Your Word, the geopolitical situation of the world lining up perfectly with Your prophetic last day scenarios. And as You told us, whatever we read, we're supposed to try and understand. And although this is difficult section of Scripture to understand where the timing of these things are, we pray You'd help us to do so, Lord. We love You and we thank You for saving our soul. I pray that everybody in this room would just go away saying, Lord, I will not flake on You no matter what this world does. I am going to serve You until You come to take me home, no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen.
These are the words of Jesus from John 16:33.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. For Jesus overcomes the world. For Jesus overcomes the world.
Amen. He's overcome, did it 2,000 years ago, and He's waiting to take those that love Him home. God bless you and keep you in His care until we can fellowship again.